Proverbs chapter 15, and I'll be reading verses 16 and 17 for the sermon text for this afternoon. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a fatted calf with hatred. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. You may be seated. Let's join our hearts together in a word of prayer as we come to this text. Our Father in heaven, as we come to your word, we pray that you would nourish us in the truth. You would give us a greater understanding of your word, that we might more faithfully carry out the principles contained in Holy Scripture. We pray for your grace, your mercy, your kindness to us, that we might be a people who love you more and are more obedient to your revealed will. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we pick up in Proverbs chapter 15 in verses 16 and 17, where we see contrasted better in verse 16 and the same word in 17, better. And so the main point of this sermon is better is little or a little with the fear of the Lord and love than great treasure and a fatted calf with trouble and hatred. My first point is better with the fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble. Better is little or a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble. And then my second point, better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a fatted calf with hatred. And so again, my first point, better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble. In the book of Proverbs, it's a common theme to compare and contrast things that are better, things that are worse. So if you look with me, we'll look at least a few of these, Proverbs 12 and verse 9, to see that this is a common theme in the book of Proverbs of comparing and contrasting. Proverbs 12 and verse 9. It says, Proverbs 12 verse 9, better is the one who is slighted but has a servant than he who honors himself but lacks bread. Or Proverbs 16 and verse 8. Proverbs 16 and verse 8. It says there, better is a little with righteousness than vast revenues without justice. Or Proverbs 16 and verse 32. It says, he who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirits than he who takes a city. And we'll maybe just do one last one. Proverbs 19 and verse 1. Proverbs 19 and verse 1. Better is the poor who walks in his integrity than one who is perverse in his lips and is a fool. And so we see, we could go on and give, I could give other examples, but we see that this comparing and contrasting, better to have this than this, is a common theme in the book of Proverbs. And we see that language here in Proverbs 15, 16, and 17. It starts by saying, better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble. It's saying that if you had to compare, is it better to have a little with fear of the Lord, or is it better to have treasure, great treasure, and trouble? And the answer is clear. It's better to have a little of the world's goods, if you have the fear of God, than have much of the world's goods with trouble. The fear of the Lord is that which is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom, and is such a blessing to the life of a person. By nature, we do not seek God, we don't fear God, we don't love God. But in our conversion to the Lord Jesus Christ, we go from hating God to loving Him. We go from rejecting fearing God to fearing the Lord. And so, if you put them on a scale and said, what is better to have? All things connected. Is it better to have little of the world's goods where you fear God, or much where there is no fear? Again, it's very clear. According to this text, it's much better to have little with the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord brings a comfort, a joy, a peace, a delight, that the world knows nothing of and is devoid of. And so if a person has little of the world's goods, but they fear God, they are spiritually rich. They have something that the world does not have. Because without Christ and the fear of the Lord, life is pointless, joyless, void of genuine hope. And therefore, no matter how much they have, they don't have what the believer has who fears the Lord. And so life is so much better and happier when we fear the Lord without much than no fear with much. And so this text is teaching us that it's better, it's far superior to have little with the fear of the Lord. This text is not saying it's wrong to have things in this life, but it's saying if you have lots of things in this life with no fear of God, it really doesn't compare. This is what Jesus is getting at when in Matthew 16 and verse 26, he says, "For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will man give in exchange for his soul?" Again, Matthew 16, verse 26. If you say you can gain the entire world and lose your own soul, Jesus says, what does it profit a man? If he gets everything out of this life, he gets fame, he gets fortune, he gets relationships, he gets everything that the world could offer and loses his own soul, it doesn't compare. What will man give in exchange for his soul? If you compare what everything that the world says that you could have compared to losing your soul, there's no comparison. That's why Jesus will say it's better to go to heaven maimed than to lose one body part, figuratively speaking, and die and go to hellfire. Because it's much better to have little with the fear of the Lord. There's a contentment, there's a joy, there's a peace, there's a satisfaction knowing that God is for you and not against you. And therefore, even if you have little, it's much better than great treasure with trouble. But then we see this reality. Again, better is the fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble. What is the trouble that it might have in mind for those who have great treasure with trouble? Well, one, we know it's comparing and contrasting those who have the fear of the Lord and those who don't. So if you don't have the fear of the Lord, which is an essential mark of someone who truly knows God, then you're under God's wrath and curse. That's the first trouble that you're in. You're under God's judgment. You're under the trouble of an evil and accusing conscience, under the trouble of being without God and without hope in this world. You're in the trouble of not experiencing the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. The trouble of feeling the weight of coming damnation to come. The trouble of not enjoying true fellowship and love with others. The trouble of knowing that everything is working together for bad because they hate God or not according to his purpose. Think about that. We love as Christians, and rightfully so, to quote Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to those who love God and those who are the called according to his purpose. You know, we can flip that and say all things work together for bad to those who hate God and are not called according to his purpose. Because that is the trouble that they experience. They are under God's wrath and curse. So they have all this great treasure. They have all the riches of this world, but it's filled with trouble. They can't really enjoy it because they have a guilty conscience. They're under the wrath and curse of God. They live all the lifetime long in bondage to the fear of death. Let me turn you to Hebrews chapter 2 as we see this reality of the trouble or the weight that an unbeliever feels. Hebrews chapter 2, starting at verse 14. Hebrews 2, 14. The text says there, "Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself," that's Christ, "likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death," that is the devil, "and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." Unbelievers are subject to the bondage all their lifetime to the fear of death. The trouble of, I have all this stuff, but I know it's going to be taken away. Some of them don't want to think about that too long. But the trouble of knowing that all their lifetime, they're subject to the bondage of the fear of death. Subject to the bondage of being so fearful of death. And this is why when things with COVID Connect were happening, as things were transpiring with that, people were going crazy because why? They fear death. The scriptures say that all our lifetime without Christ, what are we enslaved to? The fear of death. And sadly, some who profess to know Christ, who should have known better and lived better, were living like they didn't have hope in the life to come. But we see that reality, that great treasure with trouble. And this also is true of people during COVID. What did many people do? Sadly, they took their life because they were living for their great treasure. When that was taken, they thought there was nothing to live for because money can fly away like a bird. If you turn with me to Proverbs 23, it's very interesting how it puts it. Proverbs chapter 23, of those who trust in their wealth and those who are looking to their treasure as their God, it says, Proverbs 23 and verse 4. Proverbs 23 and verse 4, and I'll read 4 and 5. Do not overwork to be rich. Because of your own understanding, cease. Will you set your eyes on that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away like an eagle toward heaven. Riches are fleeting. They can fly away like an eagle towards heaven because they're not a good God to be trusted in. And therefore, those who put their trust in money and their treasure, it brings trouble to them. No matter how much of the world's goods a person has, it ultimately profits nothing if they have trouble with it. The wrath and curse of God, an accusing conscience. And that's why the Proverbs can say, better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble. Because if you have the fear of the Lord, you know that God smiles upon you. You know you have life after the grave. You know that your conscience has been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. You know that you are no longer under God's condemnation. You know that you've been set free from sin and the bondage of slavery to the fear of death. And therefore, even if you have little of what this world calls valuable, if you have the fear of the Lord, you are spiritually rich. Our world is telling us that truly, if we have everything out of this life, that's what we need. But the Word of God says it's better to have little from what the world can give you if you have the fear of God. It's better to have nothing of these worldly goods if only you have God's fear and the fear of God. It doesn't mean it's wrong, to have things in this life, but it means in comparison, if you had much stuff without the fear of the Lord, it's much better to have little with the fear of the Lord. As we live in a culture that's very materialistic, that money and stuff will buy happiness, the inspired scriptures tell us that in the fear of the Lord is really where life and contentment is found, because godliness with contentment is great gain. And now my second point, better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a fatted calf with hatred. I actually asked the grammar teacher at school to say, is that pronounced herbs or herbs? And she said herbs. That's why I'm pronouncing it that way. Herbs. Better is a dinner of herbs. That's how she told me. The grammar teacher at the school said to pronounce the H. And so, better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a fatted calf with hatred. And so we see here another comparison between a dinner of herbs or dinner of vegetables compared with a fatted calf with hatred, where love is and where hatred is. And so again, it's better to have a dinner of herbs where love is, where there is a little bit of vegetable, where there's vegetables, where there's not a great gourmet meal, but if there's true love, that's better. Where genuine love to God and genuine love to each other is found, it's better to have not a gourmet meal, a bowl of vegetables, where there's true love, than to have a gourmet meal where there's hatred. Because we see here that even if you had a fatted calf, a great gourmet meal, but there was hatred, it's not to compare. Because ultimately, when we're with others, it's not ultimately about the food, it's about the people we're with. The food is just the cherry on top. But if you have this great meal when there's strife, there's animosity, there's all this, it's so much better to have a little bit of food, but to have people who genuinely love each other than have much where there's hatred. This is why married couples who maybe got married young and they start off with not that much money, they can look back and say, those were some of the best times. Not because they had a lot, but because they had genuine love. They genuinely loved each other, so they weren't concerned if they were sharing a bowl of soup or just sharing one egg or sharing just a little bit of vegetables, because they had each other. And they loved each other. And therefore, there was great joy. And so it's better to have a dinner of herbs where love is than a fatted calf with hatred. And so in Psalm 119, verse 74, it says, I'll just read it. Those who fear you, namely God, will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in your word. The love and the fellowship, especially amongst believers, that there can be genuine love. Think about it this way for this comparison, to realize better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a fatted calf with hatred. Think about a woman who knows that her husband is committing adultery on her. He doesn't know that she knows, but she knows. And it's their 10th anniversary, and he's been committing adultery for a year now. She knows, he doesn't know that she knows. And he takes her out, he gets her flowers out of mere duty. He doesn't really love her, but he's doing it. And he takes her to a really nice restaurant. Fantastic food. Some of the best food you could ever eat. But that woman knows that he's committing adultery, and this is just a show. And that steak, or that salmon, or that sushi, whatever she gets, is terrible. Because she knows that he's doing this out of duty, and he has no real love for her. He actually truly hates her, because he's willing to sacrifice their marriage for the sake of another woman. And she would be so much happier if on their anniversary they didn't have much money, but he knew that he was committed to her and loved her. And he said, I'm sorry, honey, all we got is vegetables, but it's connected with love. That woman would much more appreciate that than a gourmet meal with her husband with hatred because of him committing adultery. Because better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a fatted calf with hatred. That if there is not much, but if there is genuine love, it makes things so much better. It makes things so much richer. No amount of food, no amount of gourmet food can make up where there is not genuine love. Where there is hatred, nothing can make up for that. It can almost make the food taste worse, even if it's good food, because your heart isn't in it. There's hatred. You know that the people are despising you and don't even want you to be there and all these different things. But where there's genuine love, a bowl of veggies tastes really good, because you know that in that place there is genuine love. If you turn with me to 1 Corinthians 13, we see there what genuine love looks like. That genuine love where even if you have a bowl of vegetables, it's so much better. It's so much better. Starting at verse 4. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 4. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. If you have this type of environment, even if you have a bowl of veggies, it's going to be so much better. If you have people that are long-suffering, that are patient and suffer long because they're willing to bear with others, if they're kind by their words and their mannerisms and their behavior, there's a kindness. There's not an envying one another, but there's a genuine looking out for the good of others and celebrating when good things happen to others. When there's not a parading itself, boasting and proud, but there's a genuine humility and a looking out for other people's needs. When there's not a puffing up, but a genuine care for others and not making much of self, but seeking to encourage others. When someone isn't behaving rudely, but they're behaving respectfully and kindly and graciously. When they're not seeking their own, but they're looking out not only for their own interests, but also for the interests of others. When they're not provoked, when you don't have to live walking on eggshells thinking every little thing I might do might provoke somebody, but they're a person that you genuinely know shows compassion and care, is not easily provoked. Someone who doesn't think evil. They think the best. They believe the best. Someone who does not rejoice in iniquity, but they rejoice with the truth because they love the truth and they walk in the truth. And someone who's willing to bear all things, believe all things, hope all things, endure all things. Being with that type of person, even if you have little in terms of worldly goods or worldly food in the sense of good food, even if you don't have those things, if you have this type of love, it's far better than a fatted calf with hatred. If you turn with me to Titus chapter 3, we see that description of what the lost man is like the one whose life is full of hatred. Titus chapter 3 and verse 3. This is describing lost mankind before salvation comes to them in Jesus Christ. Titus 3 and verse 3. It says, For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. So before God saves, this is what people are like, not always to the worst degree, but they're foolish, they're disobedient, they're deceived, they serve various lusts and pleasures. They live in malice and envy, and their life is characterized by being hateful and hating one another. That's what they're marked by. That's what they're characterized by. And therefore, that's what they are marked by. And therefore, you can have all the gourmet food, but if you have this, it doesn't compare to where genuine love is found, as described in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And so better is it better to have a bowl of vegetables. Better to have a dinner of herbs than where love is than a fatted calf with hatred. Again, it's not, I mean, you could say in a sense, the best is to have a nice meal where love is. I mean, that would be the ideal, a nice meal and love. I mean, that would be fantastic. But if you had to compare, it's better to have little in terms of good food, but to have genuine love. This is the wonderful thing about Christian hospitality. Christian hospitality is more concerned about the people that we're with than the food that we have. It's wonderful when we have good food. It's great. It's a blessing. But more of what we're concerned about is being with one another, being in the presence of one another. I remember when I had my place in Virginia, when I was a pastoral intern, when I had a spot there on the church property, very ideal location. I would have people over, and I'm not a great cook. So we would have some of them sandwiches or store-bought pizza, these type of things. But that wasn't the main thing. The main thing is being able to have people over. And I think sometimes Christians are so worried if they don't have really nice stuff, they can't have people over. But the wonderful thing about Christian hospitality is if you have something to eat and you're with people that love you and you love them, it's fantastic regardless of what you have. Christian hospitality is marked not truly by what you offer them in food, but what you offer them in fellowship. And I think some people are hindered from showing the hospitality that they could because they're so worried, if I don't go to the nth degree of the food, all the stuff that we can provide, then we can't have people, not realizing that most people who come are more concerned about what they can have in terms of fellowship. Because it's better. It would be wonderful to have people over or to have fellowship, even if it was just a cup of coffee or a cup of tea or a bowl of chips with some dip, where true love is a true Christian fellowship, than to have a great meal with people that you don't have any connection with in truth, where there's hatred. Some of you experienced this over these last few months, being with family more and knowing, wow, when I'm with people that are not my brothers and sisters in Christ, it's so different. Because there isn't that Christian charity and love. It might have been a great meal, but where there isn't that Christian charity and love, it doesn't compare to a meal that's insignificant in comparison with my brothers and sisters in Christ who love me in sincerity. It doesn't compare. I would take being with my brothers and sisters in Christ who love me and love the Christ that I love with a little bit of food than a great gourmet meal with even earthly family that is rejecting Christ. I'm not saying we disregard them. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying in comparison, the joy and happiness that can be found with our brothers and sisters in Christ, even with hardly anything that the world would say is good, is much better. It's much better because we have each other. If you turn with me to Malachi chapter 3, we see this glorious reality of saints fellowshipping with one another. Malachi chapter 3. And verse 16, Malachi chapter 3 and verse 16. It says, "Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. What a wonderful text. Those who fear the Lord, what do? They spoke to one another. The Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him, before God, for those who fear the Lord and meditate and who meditate on his name. There was this fellowship amongst believers because they feared the Lord. They spoke to one another and God heard them. God took notice of them. Now, obviously, God hears everything, but this is God hearing with pleasure, God hearing with a desire to draw near because of their fearing him and speaking to one another. And so we see that it is so much better to have the fear of the Lord with little than great treasure with trouble. And it's so much better to have a dinner of herbs where love is than a fatted calf with hatreds. And so as we make our decisions in life, we should be more concerned with, is this marked by fearing God or getting great treasure with trouble? Is this more about love for my brothers and sisters and for my neighbor, or more connected with having good stuff with hatreds? Because if we have to decide between those, we should always, 10 out of 10 times, 100 out of 100, 1,000 out of 1,000, 1,000,000 out of 1,000,000, choose little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble. And a dinner of herbs where love is than a fatted calf with hatreds. Money does not buy happiness. And this is improper English, but all that glitters ain't gold. And the grass ain't greener on the other side. We can look and say, you know what? That person has all this stuff, all these worldly goods, but you don't know what's going on in their hearts. You don't know what's going on in their relationships. And there might be deep sorrow, even though they have all the world's goods. That's why people are shocked sometimes, and we shouldn't be as Christians, how people who can have lots of money, lots of fame, commit suicide. It's a sad reality. But why does that happen? Because we see the outside, but all that glitters ain't gold. And they have all that the world offers, but they have trouble with it, and they have hatreds. And therefore, they realize life is not worth living. Life is not worth living. Because they have all what the world would say, you've made it. But it doesn't feel like they made it because they have trouble and hatreds. And therefore, they feel brokenhearted and sorrowful. They don't have the joy and peace in believing. But why is it ultimately better for us? Preeminently because we know our Creator and our Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have come to realize that even though we have sinned greatly against God, and if God would give us what we deserve, we'd have death, hell, and the grave. We would be condemned forever and ever and ever. But God in his mercy and grace has rescued us in Jesus Christ, brought us out of damnation into everlasting life, so that we can stand before him, not as condemned criminals, but beloved children. And therefore we have joy and peace in believing, knowing that God accepts us and God loves us and God is for us. Because if God is for us, who can be against us? If God would not spare his own son, but deliver him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? And therefore, we realize it's better to have the fear of the Lord. It's better to have little with the fear of the Lord, and better have a dinner of herbs where love is than a fatted calf with hatred, because we know Jesus Christ. Because we know God in the flesh, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Without him, none of these things would be better. All things being equal, if it was just little versus much, herbs versus a fatted calf, all things being equal, we would rather have more of the world's goods in that sense and a nicer meal. But if you had to compare between a little with no fear of God and little with the fear of the Lord is 100 times more worth it. Love with a bowl of vegetables is much more worth it. It's better to have that than a gourmet meal. And so in comparison, these things are not even comparable, because having the fear of the Lord and having love is much better than having trouble and hatred, even with much. And so to apply some of these things, if you're here without Christ, right now you might be living as if great treasure is better, in a gourmet meal is better because you don't have the fear of the Lord. You don't have true Christian love. And the way that you can experience these blessings, to truly confess that it's better to have little with the fear of the Lord and better have a dinner of herbs where love is to know Christ Jesus as Lord. To put your trust in Him as Savior and Lord so that you can realize that what truly know that what will it profit me if I gain the whole world and lose my own soul? What would it profit you if you gain everything out of this life and lose your own soul? What would it profit if you get everything that the world could offer you and die and go to hell? It would profit you nothing. It would be buyer's remorse. You bought it. You thought that the world biting into their forbidden fruit would make you happy, and it didn't. And so, find peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only hope for you, because great treasure without God is trouble. A fatted calf without God ultimately leads to hatred. But a little bit with the fear of the Lord is better. A dinner of herbs where love is better. And so may you know Christ as your Savior and your Lord, and by His grace realize these things. And then as saints, what an encouragement it should be for us that by having the fear of the Lord in love, we have something that the world can never have. Even in little, we have much joy. We have food that the world does not know of, which is the joy of doing the will of our Father in heaven. We have joy and peace and satisfaction that the world knows nothing of because we know Christ. Because we've been saved from our sin. And therefore, we must learn contentment and joy in what God gives, whether that is little or much, because we know that to have the joy and peace in believing in Christ is better than anything the world can give. We must be convinced that having little with God is much better than having much without Him. We must be convinced, you must be convinced, that having little as knowing God in Christ is much better than all the world's goods without Him. We must be content with such things as God gives, knowing that there is peace and joy and contentment that the world does not know of in Christ. Because as our Bible teaches us, godliness with contentment is great gain. Amen. Our Father, we pray that you would apply these truths to our heart, that we truly would know that it's better to have little fearing you than have great treasure with trouble. And we would know that it's better to have a dinner of herbs where love is than a fatted calf with hatred. Apply these things to our heart and to our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.